I am going to way too loud. I need to turn that down. Because I don't whisper. I am very momentarily going to be reading from Genesis. If you would join me in prayer. Lord God, thank you that we continue to gather. That is by your grace. And as we have your word here and we turn to it, may your grace be upon us to hear you, to know you, and to be transformed. That we too would not only know the truth about you and Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, but that we would live Christ by your grace through a work of your Holy Spirit. Open our eyes, Father, that we would behold wondrous things in your word, that we would behold you, our triune God. In Jesus' name, amen. Much scripture coming here this morning, but not going over every verse, and actually a very simple message. So they came out of Egypt, out of slavery. They had the Passover meal. They're out in the wilderness, and it is not hard to imagine a child looking to his or her parents saying, "Where are we going?" Well, we're ultimately going to the land of Canaan. And the child thinks, "We just left the land of the Egyptians. We're now going to the land of the Canaanites. Mommy, Daddy, where did the nations come from?" Or in our vernacular, races, but there's no such thing. Where did all the ethnicities and all the people groups come from? Genesis chapter 10. I will be skipping some of this so that you get the point and so that I don't butcher too many difficult to pronounce words and you lose your attention. Genesis chapter 10, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, and Ham, and Japheth. Sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech. Verse 5, from these, the coastland peoples spread in their lands, each with his own language, by their clans in their nations. The sons of Ham, verse 6, Cush, Egypt, Put, Canaan. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Septa, Rama, Sabteca. The sons of Rama. Down to verse 11. From that land he went into Assyria and built Nineveh, Rebeth-ir, Kala, resting between Nineveh and Kala. This is the great city. Egypt fathered Ludim, Anamim, Lehabim, Nephtahim, Parthasim, Caslahim, from whom the Philistines came, and Kaphtorim. Canaan fathered Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth. Canaanites were dispersed. Verse 18, verse 19, the territory of the Canaanites extended from Sidon, the direction of Gerar as far as Gaza, and in the direction of Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Zeboim, as far as Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, by their clans, their languages, their lands, and their nations. To Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the elder brother of Japheth, children were born. Verse 30, the territory in which they live extended from Mesha in the direction of Sephar to the hill country of the east. These are the sons of Shem by their clans, their languages, their lands, and their nations. Verse 32, these are the clans of the sons of Noah, according to their genealogies, in their nations, And from these, the nations spread abroad on the earth after the flood. Oh, thank you for that answer, Mommy and Daddy. That's where the Canaanites came from. That's where the Egyptians came from. That's where all these nations, all these tribes with their different tongues or languages came from. And contrast that with the answer a child would get today from a teacher, a doctor, a scientist, or the president of our country, maybe. And where those different answers lead you? Where does, oh, well, a really, 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 really long time ago, there was an explosion. And then, wait, Mommy and Daddy, what exploded? Some matter? Something? And then after the explosion, wait, Mommy, Daddy, where did that matter come from? I don't know, it just was. But let me go on. And from that explosion, everything that we now know came over that really long amount of time. And the reason we have different races is because as the slime evolved and became monkeys and other things, different branches of humanoids broke off, and so you have all the races of the earth. Two very different answers, both based upon faith. Cannot prove to you that what I just read is true. Prove in the come before you now and repeat it and verify it through repetition. But we take evidence, don't we, of things that have passed, and we evaluate it to see what the truth was. So you do what you will with that, but think of how very different this answer is and where that answer leads. But back to this passage and the answer that is here and where it leads. That you and I are professing to believe, some of you are saying, I don't necessarily believe that. Well, by coming here this morning, certainly the members are professing to believe the point of this passage. That all the nations, that each and every nation owes its existence to the Lord. The maker of heaven and earth is the one who decides boundaries, who grants life, allows, quote unquote, little s, sovereign nations to exist. This is quite clear from the text. Allow me to show you this. One of the most important things to pay attention to in Scripture is repetition, particularly when reading through narrative. Notice again, chapter 10, verse 1. These are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Sons were born to them after the flood. And the chapter ends this way, verse 32. These are the clans of the sons of Noah according to their genealogies in their nations. And from these, the nations spread abroad on the earth after the flood. What's repeated there? You've got a plurality of nations, the same origin, after the flood. It's a pregnant verse. It has more to give if you think about what that is saying. After the flood. What was the flood? God grieved in his heart at the evil that man, woman, child were committing on the face of the earth. And so in justice, he wiped every breathing creature away. Creeping thing, walking thing, every man, woman, and child, the one who made them, is the one who decides what is right and just and good. And he wiped them away except for Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. They alone came through the flood by the grace of God, who said, build the ark and close them in, who brought the ark to rest. They alone came through the flood by the undeserved kindness of the one who made heaven and earth. And after the flood, every nation, every tongue, every tribe has its origin in those who came through the flood by the Lord's provision. So all nations, red and yellow, black and white, how they're precious in His sight, not only because they're made in His image, but they all have the same origin. Adam and Eve before the flood, and after the flood through these. This, my child, the parent might say to their kid wandering in the wilderness on the way to the land of the Canaanites, this is where the nations came from. Especially after having experienced being slaves to the Egyptians and the Passover lamb and witnessing the firstborn dying of every household, firstborn male, even among the livestock. The message is clear. Every single nation has the same origin, comes from the same beginning, is beholden to the one and only God, the maker of heaven and earth. He is Lord of every nation. And the nations exist because He is merciful and gracious. He gives breath. He gives rain for harvests. He allots boundaries. He grants time. The nations exist by His grace. Every nation is beholden to Him. But mommy and daddy, if we all came from Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, who were all on the ark together and could understand each other when they were arguing and bickering in that one year locked in that same wooden vessel, why do we speak different languages? Chapter 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top to the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth. And they left off building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. I hope it's obvious by the repetition and my emphasis of that repetition what the point is. Not only are all the nations, each and every single nation, beholden unto the maker of heaven and earth. He is their Lord. He is also the Lord of every single nation, and that every single nation answers to Him, and He is the one ultimately in control. They said, come, let us. Does that sound familiar, anyone? When's the first time you heard, come, let us? Genesis 1, but it wasn't people speaking. I believe that was our Trinity, our triune God, come, let us make man in our image. But now here we have, after sort of a new beginning, a new Genesis after the flood, the spreading out, multiplying, and being fruitful, supposed to fill and subdue the earth, we have once again rebellion, this time not in the form of eating from the one and only tree that God said, do not eat from that tree. And in a sense, Adam said in his mind, I think there's good in that, and did it. We have rebellion yet once again. Come, let us. Come, let us. Let us do this, let us do that. Let us build a nation. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let us plan our 501k. Let us buy houses. Let us, let us, let us. Because we all know that we are gods. That we are sovereign over our existence. How'd you get here? I don't know. Just be quiet. And I can do whatever I want to do. And this is my life. We're a sovereign nation. If I want Ukraine, I take it. If we want to rebel against them trying to take us, we do that. If we want to throw tea into the harbor, we throw it into the harbor. Because by golly, we are here by, we don't really know how we got here. We don't control when we die. We think we're masters of ourselves, masters of the universe. We think Putin's in control. We think the Democrats are in control. The Republicans are in control. That whatever party in the North, whatever party in the South, there is one Lord. That has always been the case and will always be the case. And when he says, it happens. They said, but he said. Their tower was left unbuilt. And what he had commanded, he brought about. He dispersed them that they would fill all the lands. And there would be diversity in peoples with languages and cultures and nations. But that was by his doing, by his word. That's why, Johnny, Patricia, not very Jewish names, but you know. That's why the Canaanites speak their language and the Egyptians speak their language and we speak our language and the Assyrians speak theirs. That's where Babylon came from, by the way. And as we wander out in this wilderness and left the comfort of what we know of leeks and onions, but also slavery, the one who parted that Red Sea is the one who made the sea. The one who called every star into existence and knows them by name, who can number every grain of sand on the beach and knows every single hair on your head. He is Lord of the nations. And no nation can do anything that the Lord is not in control of. Now, a side note, does that mean he initiates as responsible for evil? No. You say, how? Great question. I'm going back to the passage. The message is this for you. Finite, needy, frail, weak creature. No matter what color your skin is, no matter what language you're speaking, no matter where you came from, in terms of where you've lived and grew up, you all exist just as every nation exists because the maker of heaven and earth created people in his image, male and female. And then when he justly and rightly washed the face of the earth clean, he brought forth all the nations through those who were on that ark. And when they rebelled, and wanted to, it looks like, begin again doing what was going on before the flood, gathering together and mounding up ultimately evil and rebellion so that every intention of their heart was nothing but evil and the Lord himself was grieved. He confused their languages and dispersed them according to his good, pleasing, and perfect will in his desire to bring about which is truly good and ultimately a blessing. Ethnicities. Customs, they're a blessing. The diversity, because God isn't a vanilla wafer, nor is he an Oreo, or whatever else you might think. The amount of diversity in him is endless because he himself is eternal, without beginning and without end. And so he creates male and female in his image, and from them come peoples, but then he brings about justice and mercy at the same time. Now all are beholden to him just as they were before the flood. And the nations in their diversity with their different languages exist because he said so. Because he said so. I don't know what you're excited about or worried about right now. Whether it's the economy, inflation, what's going on in Ukraine, whether or not you get to do your trip next week, what's on TV this afternoon, or whatever. But there is one Lord. One maker of heaven and earth. And regardless of how it looks in the moment, everyone and every single nation answers to him and to him alone. Take you to two New Testament passages. Briefly, Philippians and then Revelation. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is not like the King of Kings or Lord of Lords we know of in this life or we come up with. He's like this, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. The Messiah, Yahweh, who saves. That's what Christ Jesus means. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God is highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every single nation is beholden to our God, though they do not recognize it or acknowledge it. One day they will. When the King of Kings and Lord of Lords returns, he has to return because he's already come. But when he came how? In humility, fully man, to fulfill the Father's will and obey, wherein the first Adam, where Noah and all others failed. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, and now is given that title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Revelation 7, we get a glimpse into the nations, the tribes, and the tongues before this slain lamb. 7:9, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Knowing now much more than those in the wilderness, we're learning, knowing the Lamb of God who takes away our sin, who will return to reign. Understand that Christ is Lord. I leave you once again with Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Join me in prayer. Sovereign Lord, maker of heaven and earth, you are God and there is no other. Father, Son, and Spirit, so that you could say, "Let us make man, let us confuse their language," because you are three, distinct and yet inseparable one. The one, the only God, Lord, King, Savior, and Jesus, the Messiah, is now fully human, still fully God. The obedient and perfect Adam, faithful high priest, once for all sacrifice, that we can be reconciled to you one by one, and then be one in him with our citizenship in heaven, awaiting that unshakable kingdom. That is more sure than the sun rising tomorrow or our rising to go and do this or that. You reign. Jesus Christ, who has died and been buried and raised from the dead, will return. The nations will answer to him. Forgive us, Father, for our trembling and worrying and fearing, for anxiety, for pride, arrogance, thinking that we're in control and beholden to no one. Thank you for your forgiveness. And your Son. And your spotless Lamb. Who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And grant that our minds will be fixed upon Him, longing for His return, knowing that when He, who is our life, returns, we will, by your undeserved kindness, through His obedience and willing sacrifice, be in your presence forever. Guard our hearts and minds. Write your truth upon them, Father. That day by day you would be our refuge and our peace, our joy. That our hope would not be hidden by the same fears, worries, pains, or pleasures that those who don't know you are consumed with. Grant that, Father, to our great blessing, joy, also to the blessing of those around us who desperately need Jesus Christ, to know where they've come from, to know where things are going, to know your love demonstrated in Christ having come and that He will return. And grant this transformation of heart and mind, Lord God, that we would live in this fleeting here and now to your glory, because you alone are worthy of it. In Jesus' name, amen.